Before I start this morning, I just want to say a big, big thank you to Neil at the back there. I don't know whether you noticed, but Neil's been running around this morning serving us, basically, so that we can hear all the things. So can we give Neil a round of applause? And you're on the sound desk, and when you get it right, nobody says anything, and when you get it wrong, you get lots of comments and that. So we do appreciate you, Neil. We're going to look today at that passage that we had read to us by David and Doreen, that's Psalm 121. And one of the blessings when you're living on Romney Marsh is that it's lovely and flat. And if you want to go cycling, it's brilliant for cycling. And you get big skies on Romney Marsh, and it's the most wonderful place to live. Hythe's not bad. Folkestone, not sure about Folkestone, but Romney Marsh, you know, is the place to be. But there is one problem when you live on Romney Marsh, and that is you read a verse of Scripture like the beginning of Psalm 121, and it says, I lift my eyes up to the hills or to the mountains, whichever version that you have, and you're a bit stuck to be able to sort of do that practically. This is the railway bridge in Lydd, and it is one of the high points on Romney Marsh, 4 metres above the ground. And, you know, you can say, I lift my eyes up to Lydd Railway Bridge. And then it sort of stops there, doesn't it? It doesn't have the same flow as the psalm does there. And, you know, there is something about being, you know, tackling a hill and getting to the top of the hill. You know, you get a sense of achievement. I have to say, when I've walked over Lydd Railway Bridge, I was a bit lacking in that sense of achievement at getting to the top there. If you move down to the coast, you've got the sand dunes there. They are slightly higher, actually. If you look on the map, they're about 6. There is even a spot height of 10 metres there, although quite where that is, I'm not sure. But we've got the sand dunes there. It's a bit harder because you're walking on sand. And you know, it's a little bit more of achievement to get to the top of there. If we were in Ramsgate, we would have the cliffs that we could walk up there. And I'm sure after walking up that long road, we would think, get to the top there and think, yeah, I'm ready for an ice cream. I lift my eyes to the top of the cliffs and look for the ice cream van. And then there's you people in Folkestone, and you really are blessed in this, okay? Because you have Sugarloaf Hill, and it's 121 metres above the sea level, and it is one of those places which you can walk up to the top of and get a sense of achievement that you've arrived and the view is absolutely splendid. Now, at this point, I'm going to stop because I'm going to ask somebody to come up the front here and actually share a picture that they had. Now, this person doesn't very often get pictures. And she got this picture not yesterday, but a week ago yesterday. And she came last Sunday and shared it and said, I've had this picture in it. What do I do with it? And I said, well, actually, I think it is for us today. So, Molly, if you would come up here, please, and just share the picture that you had in your garden last Saturday morning.
Those who know me know I'm not a very holy person, and I have actually never had a picture or a vision or anything. Anyway, last Saturday I was actually took 30 sneaky minutes sitting in the sunshine, and I've a lot of heavy stuff going on in my own family at the moment and with friends. And I started to pray. And I was sort of in the middle of the praying. And I saw this really grey, miserable, high, stony mountain. It was very cold and very misty. I don't know if it was me that was climbing up it or what it was really, but anyway, it was really difficult and it was hard. But then eventually the summit was reached, and down on the other side of the mountain was just the most wonderful, wonderful sight. Sparkling water, blue skies, flowers, you know, all the lovely things that we like to experience of God's nature. And I just felt very blessed by that, and so I wanted to share it with you, Nick.
So I was encouraged by that, because Molly didn't know what I was going to be speaking on this morning, and I'd already sort of decided, and I thought, actually, that fits in with what I'm going to be saying today. Because when you get to the top of Sugarloaf Hill, you might not see the beautiful sparkling waters. You might see the sea, but not quite what you... But this view is spectacular. And those of you that have been there on a clear, sunny day will know what the view is like. And when you can see where you're aiming for, it makes a big difference. Last summer, we as a family decided that we'd walk part of the Pennine Way, not the whole of it, but part of it. And we set off on one particular day, and we set off about 11 o'clock. We walked all day, and it was lovely, weather was fine. And then about 5:30, the rain started. And as the rain started, we still had several miles to go, but we couldn't see where we were aiming for. We knew it was ahead, but we couldn't see our destination. And I have to say that when we eventually got there about 7:30, we were cold, we were wet, soaked right the way through, and we then had to wait under a railway bridge in the dry for our lift to come and pick us up. It was tough, that last bit, because we couldn't see where we were heading to. And there was another time when I was walking in Kenya, in a desert in northern Kenya, and we were being led, my friend and I, by a guide across the desert to a house that we were told was somewhere in the desert. Again, we couldn't see where we were aiming for. We just had to trust the guide to take us over there. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 7, he says, "We live by faith, not by sight." There will be times when we can see where we're heading for, but a lot of the time we won't. We'll come back to that in a moment or two. And it's at those times when we need to pay special care and attention to following the guide. And whether it's reading his word, taking a little bit more time over reading his word, maybe it's listening to other Christians and getting their counsel. Maybe it's listening to the Holy Spirit. But we need to take care in those times. So this psalm, it was a song of ascents. And basically that means that they were ascending. That's what it means. And it was perhaps sung by one or two people, or sung by one person. And it would have been sung as they journeyed towards Jerusalem, as the Jews journeyed towards Jerusalem for one of their annual festivals. And there's actually two interpretations of "I lift my eyes up to the mountains," because what it's saying is, I lift my eyes up actually to all the mountain shrines where the pagans all worshipped. My strength doesn't come from there. That's one interpretation. Or the other one is, I lift my eyes up to God's mountain, to Mount Zion. And it's that one that I'm going to focus more on this morning. So we can imagine perhaps a vast caravan of people, hordes of people walking along, threading their way through the valleys, through the paths, and they're on their way to Jerusalem, getting nearer and nearer. And they're singing these songs as they go along. And they're songs to remind them of who it is that they are worshipping and why they are worshipping. And if you read around Psalm 121, you can see that sense there. And I was thinking about this. There's some of us here this morning who are off to Transform in a couple of weeks' time. And I was thinking, can you imagine setting off from our homes to Transform? There we are, we're going in our cars, and as we get, we start to meet up in Ashford somewhere on the M20. And, you know, there's this long caravan of cars, and everyone in that long caravan of cars is going to transform. And we've all got our windows wound down because it's very hot. And we've got our CD players on with the latest CD of worship music playing. So we're blessing all of Kent as we drive through Kent and through Sussex and Surrey and all the rest of it, all the way to Great Malvern. And I think that would actually give the police and the authorities another problem to deal with other than Operation Stack. You know, this group of Christians going on this. And as we get nearer to Great Malvern, you know, more and more people join up with us. And that's a bit of what was happening, you know, with the people going to Jerusalem. And then I remember the time, you know, going on holiday. Where I come from, Bedford, is actually a long way from the sea. It's one of the most inland places in the country. And as a child, I remember, you know, going in the car with mum and dad, and we'd be going down Devon or somewhere like that, and we'd come up over a hill, and there was the sea. We got our first glimpse of the sea. And the excitement of a small child in short trousers and hair in those days as well, and you know, of seeing the sea for the very first time. And there was a sense of that with the people as they got nearer and nearer to Jerusalem. And suddenly they would come up to a hill, and they'd get to the top of the hill, and there it was in the distance, Mount Zion, where they were heading for. And they'd suddenly think to themselves, that's why we've been journeying all this time. You know, somebody said that life is like a journey. And like the pilgrims on the road to Jerusalem, each one of us is on a journey. And we are heading for the heavenly Jerusalem. And like them, we often catch just a glimpse of Mount Zion, of that Jerusalem, of heaven. And we talk about, you know, those times when it's like God opens up the heavens to us and we can just see into heaven for a moment or two, and we get a glimpse of what our destiny is all about. And we're at the hilltops, and the diagram I've drawn there is sort of representing that, that when we're at that hilltop, we can see over the other hills and we can see where we're heading to. But the reality is that a lot of the time we live in the yellow zone on that diagram, where we can't see our destination. And it's then that we're living by faith and not by sight. We can only see the destination when we're at the top of those points, and they come few and far between. And at the other times, we're perhaps going down the hill. It's not too bad because it's downhill. But then we get to the bottom, and it's like we're in that pit of despair in the bottom there. And then it's hard work as we get up, start going up the other side as well. And I've got a question for you this morning. If I asked you to put an X on that diagram, where would you place yourself today? Where would you place yourself today? I believe that what God's given me today is a message of encouragement for us all. You see, when Mount Zion is out of sight, we can feel a little bit like this guy here, you know, walking along, face towards the ground, slightly hunched over. And it might be that our work or our family or our money situation or our health situation or something worrying about the future in some way, or our hobbies and interests may have just overwhelmed us so much. It might be that we just are confronted all the time with our failures or our lack of good self-image. And these things are weighing down on us. You see, when we're at those mountaintops, like we saw in that last one, it's easy to follow the Lord then. And it's like, you know, our fellowship with God is sweet. And we feel like we're walking on air. But when we're down in the bottom, that's when it's much more harder. And the Lord can seem distant. And it can be like I haven't seen God recently. I haven't seen or heard him speak recently. And it can be overwhelming for us. And I want us just to think for a moment, you know, what is it that is our main focus at the moment? Is it God or is it something else? Is it the Lord Jesus or is it something else? A few years ago, I had a trapped nerve in my neck and I got some physio for it. And it was the most excruciating experience I've ever had, I think. This guy bending me and pushing me in all sorts of ways and that. But it did help. But one of the things that the man said, the physiotherapist said, is he said, I can't help notice that when you walk with a slight stoop. And I'd never noticed it, hadn't realised. And he said, and that could be exacerbating the problem. And so I have to think quite consciously to walk upright, hold my head up when I'm walking, because I do tend to have that slight stoop. And what he was actually saying is, look, where you put your eyes actually is affecting the rest of your body. And I thought there's a lesson for us there, all there. Where I fix my gaze spiritually affects the rest of me. And if I'm walking around spiritually looking like this, then it affects me. I learnt a new Greek word this week, omphalosepsis. Anyone know what it means? I knew you would, Adam, but anyone else? Yeah, that's it. Omphalosepsis. It actually means, it's the Greek for navel gazing. A navel gazing is the self-indulgent or excessive contemplation of oneself or a single issue at the expense of the wider view. And the danger is that if we are not careful, we can become so absorbed with ourselves and what's going on in our lives that it's like with this child, you know, that we're gazing at our navels. And we lose sight of everything else. Now, I don't know when the last time is that you actually looked at your navel. Don't do it now, please, okay? But have you tried it recently? You know, it's not one of the most exciting experiences. You sort of look down at your navel and you think, oh my word, there's some fluff down there. Let's just get rid of that. And after you've done that, you know, nothing else particularly happens. And what the psalmist is doing is saying here, don't be like that little boy, looking at yourself, at your problems and things like that, but lift your eyes up and look beyond, look again to God. And to remember who he is, to remember what he has done. And to remember the love that he has for us. Now, how do we do that practically? How do you stop yourself from navel-gazing and actually look at the bigger picture? Well, can I suggest that finding somewhere quiet is helpful? It might be to get alone is helpful as well. It might be to take a verse of Scripture. If you took the psalm that we're looking at today, Psalm 121, and just had it, it's a nice short psalm, and you just took that and you rolled it over in your mind. You know, like I think it was C.H. Spurgeon said about putting a sweet in your mouth, being like a verse of Scripture, and you roll it over in your mouth and you feel the flavour of it and you feel the shape of it and all the rest of it. And taking the Scripture and doing the same with that. And praying as well, like Molly was doing in her garden the other day. And you see, what happened with Molly that she told us about there was that, yeah, there were lots of things that were pressing down and were causing her to be a little bit like this situation here. But as she thought about it, God showed her a picture. And in showing that, he lifted her out of that situation. There's an old song that we're going to sing at the end of this time called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glorious glory and grace. So the psalmist is telling us, look to God. Make that the priority. Remember that he is our helper. Now, this is the amazing thing, that the psalmist, when he wrote this, he had not had the experience that we have of the Holy Spirit, because he was an Old Testament believer. And because of that, he hadn't had that experience. And yet we have the Holy Spirit helping us. In another psalm, Psalm 103, it says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. God knows about every part of you. I don't know about you, but one of the verses that I love in the Bible is that, you know, the one where it says, God even knows about how many hairs you've got on your head. Now, for me, it's not as many now as I once had, but he knows. And that's the intimacy and the depth of knowledge that God knows each one of us. And five times in this psalm, Psalm 121, five times it says that God watches over us. Whether it's to steady us when we're going along our way. My father-in-law, Helen's dad, used to be a great walker. And one of his problems of growing old is that he's a lot less sure on his feet than he once was. And so there are times when we have to physically help him. We go for walks, and particularly climbing over stiles is quite a feat for him and for the rest of us as well, getting him over the stile. But in the same way that we get alongside him and help him in those situations, God gets alongside us as well. And whether it's God protecting us, do you remember the thing in the 1980s, the, what was it, slip, slap, slop? Slip on a shirt, slap on sunscreen, and slap on sunscreen, and slap on a hat. And God, in the same way, wants to cover us and protect us from things that will harm us. And if you're a parent here, you know how, you know, you let your children play, but you keep an eye on them, because you want them to have fun, and you want them to have a bit of excitement in their life, but you don't want them to actually come to any harm. You see, God is watching over every one of us. And I believe there's some people here this morning where we just need to hear that. Actually, I need to hear my Father is watching over me today. Because I'm feeling like I'm in the bottom of that trough. I might be not able to see God, but God can see me. And the difference is that our vision is limited. His is unlimited. And if we think back to the picture I showed you earlier of the, you know, the troughs and hills and that, God, there is no place in any of those valleys where God cannot see us. So we need to be reminded of God's love. Some of us, as I said, need to be reminded that God is watching over us, not keeping surveillance on us. We live in a society now where if you say watching over, actually can have quite negative connotations. With security cameras, with different types of surveillance and that sort of thing, that's quite a negative thing. It's like, oh, I'm going to watch over you, make sure you don't do anything wrong. But actually, it's not like that. God is saying, I'm watching over you because I care for you. I want the best for you. And I want your well-being. And he says right at the end of that psalm, he says, and it's for now and forevermore. And so it's not just for today, it's for tomorrow and the next week. And it's in 10 years' time. God will still be watching over you. And it's God saying, these are my children. If you want to see what God's children look like, then look around in this room here. And you'll see what they are there. We're all God's children. And when Paul was praying for the Ephesians, what he was saying there was that he was saying, I want you to grasp something of God. I want you to grasp how fantastic God is, how amazing God is, how wonderful God is, how awesome God is, how majestic and powerful God is, how glorious and strong God is, how loving and vast and knowledgeable and creative and eternal. That's the God I want you to get a hold of. You see, as we start to read a passage like the one in Ephesians 3, it actually takes our eyes off of ourselves and helps us to focus on our Father. So, where do we go from here? Well, I think it'd be really good this morning if we actually spent a few moments just focusing on God. And I'm going to ask the musicians if they could come back up, and we're going to sing that song that, Les, if you could organise the words, that'd be brilliant. We're going to sing that song, and we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and renew our vision of the Father. Fiona, you're going to have to help me with singing, because I'm no good at singing this. Do you know it? You're right on that one. So let's just pray, and the musicians are going to start playing, and you either join in or you can either receive from the Lord. Let's just pray together now. Father, your word says, turn your eyes to you. And Father, we want to just do that together as your people this morning. And Father, please, by your Holy Spirit, would you come upon us this morning and just renew our vision of you. Father, for those who are just thinking, it's been so long since God really spoke to me. It's been so long since I heard God, I was encouraged by him. Father, this morning, would you just come and speak to these people? For those of us, Lord, who are in a different place, would you come and encourage us and spur us on? Lord, just like the athletes need cheering on from the crowds, Lord, we need cheering on from you sometimes. And Father, I pray, please, would you just come and cheer us and spur us on this morning as we look to you? Holy Spirit, come upon us now, we pray. Come upon us, fill us afresh with a vision of Jesus, we pray.